This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening, and for our first story of the day, we've been hearing a lot about scams recently, particularly just ones that are after your money, primarily. So the police has launched a helpline, and it is for matters relating to scams and other white-collar crimes. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city. Well, that's it. That song's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the show.
Well, anyway, they're calling this hotline the Info Line, and it's an initiative under the Commercial Crimes Investigations Department. The public can use the Info Line to channel information on these sorts of crimes. They can also use it to verify potentially fake claims by scam syndicates and check on the status of their police reports.
So at the moment, the Info Line only uses text and WhatsApp messages. Voice messages and calls can't be received, and it operates from 8 a.m. till 12 a.m. daily.
But the police also gave this warning that any tip-off shared using the info line should not be baseless accusations, and they shouldn't be made with malicious motives to discredit a certain organization or individual. Prank messages won't be entertained, and action will be taken against those who send false information on purpose.
I think that this is definitely a good move, especially in terms of transparency, of seeing exactly how far along the process you are in terms of lodging a report.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, I mean, obviously it's really convenient if you want to just ping the police's radar, right, about the fact that there are these scams running in this area, or it's a good way to get an idea of volume as well, because it's easy for people to report. But what interests me is the idea that I can check on the status of a report.
Yes.
I think that's really cool.
I also do like the fact that the police have preempted the fact that if you make any false reports, you can have action taken against you. I'm not sure where or under what law that would necessarily fall under. Will it be equivalent to lodging a false police report at a police station, for example?
It's interesting that we're at a point now where prank WhatsApps are the equivalent of prank calls, right?
Yeah.
Because this is essentially what that would cover. And I can imagine people thinking, for whatever reason, that it would be funny to do something like that. So it is good to set up that warning up front, going like, we are going to take this seriously. Do not misuse this number. But I come back to the point about I wonder whether this will do anything about the commonness and occurrence of the crime.
Right.
Right. Because it has been something that we've been talking about, that it seems to be occurring really often. Many of us, including I think everybody in this room, probably has received a message where you are like, okay, no, I know that you want my IC or you want my credit card number. Like, I'm not interested in this. But it is a common attempt at running a scam. So I wonder whether having this helpline is going to do anything to lessen that.
I think, if anything, it will just make the reporting slightly easier, where people now, instead of having to present themselves at police stations, they can easily just send screenshots over and say, hey, I received this very strange message. I got a call from this number. Could you please help me look into this and see if there's any truth to it?
Yeah, exactly. That verification, just that little pause, because very often people use the police's name in this.
Yep.
They say they are the police and they're investigating you for XYZ, whatever. And so having a number to say, guys, is this you?
Mm.
Is this actually you? Is useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That number, by the way, is 013-211-222. So if you have anything to report or check on, that line is open. It's called the info line, 013-211-222. And that goes straight to the Commercial Crimes Investigation Department. Let us know whether you've ever encountered these scams, not necessarily whether you've fallen for them, but what are the messages and phone calls that you've received? I have been chased by DG now for about 3 years, and I'm putting DG in inverted commas, huge air quotes. I've been chased by DG now for about 3 years or so, for I think something like 100 ringgit. I've had lawyers' letters delivered to my house.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very odd. It's very odd. And that number doesn't exist. And if you look at both my phone number and the IC, in each case, one digit, exactly one digit is wrong on each.
So does that force you to correct your those numbers if they ever call you?
No, when they do call me, it's a robot call.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just, I've continuously blocked those numbers. and I should probably report it to MCMC. But yeah, I mean, I really don't think that I'm alone. It's an incredibly common thing. So let us know what scams you've encountered. 7733-2900 is the number to call and tell us. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. And you can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. Going from one scam to another, after this, we're going to be talking about...
How dare you?
I know, I went there. We're going to be talking about the business of astrology and how venture capitalists are moving into that market. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Hollies with Just One Look. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We were speaking earlier about a new info line that's been launched by Bukit Aman's Commercial Crimes Investigations Department to kind of help out with verifying scams and reporting scams, seeing the status of your police report. And we've been asking you to let us know what kind of scams you've encountered in this area. Has anybody just been trying real hard to get your credit card or your IC from you? Amar says, finally, with this law, all the Nigerian princes will be locked up in jail. It's about time.
Are we sure they're just not one person?
Yes, and also more likely you'll be able to field about 60 reports, all of which are going on about the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's likely what they're going to be getting. All right, now we're going to be moving on to our next story, which I thought was really interesting. And it's about this. First up, we've got a small snippet. So if you couldn't tell from that litany of all the star signs, we are talking about astrology. So obviously some people live by it. Some people think it's total hogwash. But for investors and venture capitalists looking to profit from the next big tech trend, apparently astrology is where it's at.
And they call it the mystical services market. And it's got the business potential of $1.2 billion. It's only recently become an attractive industry. 10 or 20 years ago, the kind of astrology startups that were around were, you know, rather shady. Think middlemen who would just direct you to generic and random astrologists.
Now, today's apps are a lot more slick. There's an app called Sanctuary, which can be described perhaps as Uber for astrological readings. For $20 a month, that's quite a tidy sum actually, you can receive a monthly one-on-one chat consultation with an astrologer, and the app also provides free daily horoscopes.
This reminds me a bit of the phone lines you used to be able to call for astrological guidance.
Yes, except now, as with everything else, a phone call has been reduced or changed over to an app.
So there's also CoStar, an app that lets people download and compare their birth charts, and it raised just over $5 million in funding from Silicon Valley venture capitalist firms Mevron and Aspect Ventures, as well as 14W based in New York.
So a lot of this is down to the fact that astrology has become quite Instagrammy, very
yep.
modern. It's moved away from its sort of crystal ball, mystic tarot card reading kind of approach, and instead it's really been baked into a lot of daily discourse, strangely. I mean, a lot of modern sites will have an astrology section, regardless of whether or not it has any connection to the rest of the site. It is clearly something of interest to people.
Yeah, and I think the push in America specifically must be the fact that, you know, Christianity is losing its slight grip in the country, and it's helping fill this spiritual void that's left behind.
But it's different here, isn't it? Because here, it's something that we've always kind of had around.
Yeah.
Feng shui is huge. The fact that we are all born with, you know, certain zodiac signs. It's people still use that in order to decide on dates to get married, for example, or even to look at compatibility. So it's not exactly something that's very far away from the daily experience here, which suggests to me that if somebody were to try and start an app here, it might potentially be big business.
Yeah, I think we just don't have that so far. But the interesting thing is that for us, it isn't so major at the moment. You know, if I'm not wrong, I think Hong Kong designs its buildings based on feng shui. So they leave large gaps in their really tall buildings for dragons to go through.
Right.
So that apparently helps with luck. So if you block the dragon's path, that just brings misfortune.
Right, because the dragon's just banging its head against the outside of your building. We're joined now by the Morning Run's Wong Shuning. Shuning, thank you so much for joining us just to kind of talk about this. So while we're talking about astrology and astrological apps and stuff, why do you think this makes a good investment overall?
I think apps are a great way to appeal to a certain segment of the market. So you open a lot of possibilities if you like astrology, and then you can just click on it every day and you can look at it. And like you say, it's appealing in Asia. It's appealing all around the world anyway.
And do you think that this, people trying to get money into, pumping money into this as such, does it have anything to do with also being able to access user information? Because a lot of the zodiac and astrology in general depends on you saying really exactly when you were born.
Yes, and I suspect these apps have other things, like from there they can gather what your interests are, what your preferences are. Maybe the astrology, you can ask questions like, who should I marry? Where should I sit in the office? Things like that. So they can have an idea of who you are, what your preferences are, and that's always data. And any data is essentially money. You can monetize it, and that's why it makes it such a good investment.
So for venture capitalists looking out for trends to capitalize on, such as astrology or even something like mindfulness, how can you convert a pop culture moment into an actual money-making endeavor?
That's the interesting question. I think it's a bit of a challenge because you need to find that sweet spot where the app is intuitive, easy to use, it's not complicated, the design is there, and I think it has to be a bit of fun too. It cannot be too complicated. If you see the successful apps, they all like that, right? Mm-hmm. If it's too complicated, you just give up after a while.
Having said that, though, of course, we are working in a field where it would be pretty easy, and I mean, lots of people have already done it, where they've dismissed it as pseudoscience. So for somebody who's looking to invest in this, is there a fear or uncertainty regarding the fact that at any point people could just come in and be like, you know, all this doesn't work?
Oh, well, I would think, it's a bit like how much faith do you have in astrology, right, at the onset? If you weren't really that interested in astrology, would you download the app in the first place? And maybe if you did, you also at the back of your mind know it's not science. It could be just a bit of fun every day.
So the article cites some investors who wanted to get in just a bit earlier but couldn't find a solid investment option in the early days of the internet. What has changed?
Well, basically, everybody has a smartphone. Everyone has fast data. And I think the appeal of the apps, like I said, the design is very important. And the design of most apps has improved quite significantly from its early days. So that's the big difference.
Right. And just to say, right, some investors who were discussing an app that we mentioned earlier called CoStar has said that this has the potential to go as big as Spotify or Tinder. And CoStar is the one that allows you to compare birth charts. If you were to look into your crystal ball, sorry for the pun, would you actually agree with this?
It's a hard question to answer because I think in the first place, I don't believe in astrology. So I'm not one person that will download the app, but I think in today's internet, there's something for everybody, but how big it will be, I'm not sure.
And would a similar app, say, for feng shui or some other local-based astrology have the potential for success here in Malaysia?
Yeah, I think especially if they create the app in such a way that you could use it for simple things like, you know, when you move to an office, where should you sit? And the inbuilt compass of your phone will say northwest or something like that, face the east. Or even things like you key in your birthday and then they tell you, oh, you should wear these following colors for the year. It'll bring you good luck. Avoid water, avoid fire. I think something like that would work. I think it appeals to people.
Shuning, if somebody makes that app, I hope they remember to credit you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We've been speaking with The Morning Run's Wong Shuning about really the investment opportunity that astrology presents. So earlier, when I was kind of segueing over into this story, I called it a scam.
How
Kelvin
dare you?
Kelvin was affronted. Would you download these apps? Would you use them?
Oh, absolutely not. But I think they are just for fun. But I do understand that people do approach these apps or these kind of things, especially when they're stressed and when they're distressed, right? And that's the worrisome bit for me, that they when there is no other strong guidance in your life, you would want to rely on this. And because now it's become a sort of money-making venture, I mean, it yeah. always kind of has.
It's targeting you always had the vulnerable.
It's targeting the vulnerable.
Mm. I think, a little bit more curious about what the next thing is going to be. Because when mindfulness and yoga started kicking in, then you saw lots of meditation apps. And some meditation apps have really made big money. So now that the old has become the new again, and astrology is kicking back into trend and people are capitalizing on that, I'm wondering what the next thing is going to be. What is the next big app, you know, that people, that venture capitalists are going to be looking at and going, huh, okay, that will be how I make my money?
My guess, it would be Eastern-based, well, I don't want to say pseudoscience, but Eastern-based astrology. Maybe in the next 5 years, expect IKEA's AR, VR app to be able to tell you where not to place a certain piece of furniture.
Oh, I do not look forward to that. Let us know what you make of astrology. Let us know what you make of venture capitalists turning their money-making acumen, really, towards investing in astrology apps. Do you think it's all hokum? Call us and let us know. 7733-2900 is that number. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we have The Jam with Start, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.